F1A. Number 3A.
Now, we come to our subject of the Christ matrix, which we want to take this week, symbolized through the prophets. And the moment one is speaking about the matrix, then one is on perhaps a little bit shallow ground. Not everybody really likes that term matrix, because at school most of the students have not heard about the matrix, and therefore it's a foreign concept. And yet this is one of the most interesting tool in science, and therefore we should get acquainted with it. And it's much easier than what people think it is. And once one has been introduced to it, one wouldn't like to miss it anymore. So I want to spend some time just on the question, what is a matrix and what constitutes a matrix, why we should work with the concept of a matrix, and all these questions that always have come up. Actually, I have once given a whole week summer school on matrix and matrices, but those tapes were not really in great demand, I guess because one was afraid in thinking in terms of matrices. So I go out that most of you know very little about matrix, and I build up the term matrix. Matrix is a term that we have defined in the study aid on page 96. And I would like you to take the study aid on page 96. Now, we read that whole page, though everybody knows English, we read it just the same together. And I make some remarks, and these remarks may be rather longish. When we talk about matrix, you know, matrix is the same thing as what you had as a kid when you had to go to the first class. You had a matrix in the form of a class schedule. That was a matrix. You didn't know that it was called a matrix. But if you know the class schedule, you know that is on one sheet, you have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not Sunday. And then horizontally you had from 8 to 9, and then from 9 to 10, and then 10 to 11. And that was a matrix. And that's all. But let's see what it implies. So let's take first matrix as what the term means. It is a womb, a place of origin. So we have already different terms for a matrix. It's a womb. The womb contains already the finished product of a child. It's a place of origin. That's also interesting. We could see that out of a matrix everything could be deduced later on, that if we know how to make a real matrix, that everything we have to know in science can be deduced from such a matrix, because it's a place of origin. It's a cradle, the place in which anything is nurtured in its earliest stage. Or it's a source, a cause, but then it's a grid. And this gives us already more a mathematical aspect of a matrix, a more abstract sense of a matrix than just a womb. It's a chessboard pattern. You know a chessboard pattern, 8x8, and so this is a matrix 2 as a matrix form. This is about the term. Now the definitions are many. Fold, and they all turn around the same thing. So I have taken quite a few definitions from books, so that all the various definitions help to find the true sense of it. Here we have then definitions. And the definition which one usually gets in a dictionary is first the womb. And that's naturally more a biological definition, whereas we in Christian Science need much more a scientific, abstract definition. So that womb is a place or enveloping element within which something originates, takes form, or develops. That's quite a good definition, though it's, so to say, directed to the womb definition, the biological definition, but it also applies really to our sense of matrix, namely that it is a place. The matrix is usually just one page, and in that page, in that matrix, is a place or enveloping element. It envelops, it includes within itself everything that is necessary for a subject, for the whole subject. It's so to say, it gives a sense that everything is enveloped in it, is included in it, nothing is excluded in it. It's an enveloping element within which something originates. That's terrific. You see, it gives the sense that within that womb, within that matrix, something originates, something comes to birth, that it is creative. Looking at the matrix in a proper way, we have a great sense of creative ability, that if we can think in matrices, that is a creative activity, that out of this matrix we can really deduce a lot of things which are embedded in it but not brought out expressis verbis. You say expressis verbis in clear text, you would say. So something originates. Actually, many things that I have found in Christian Science, which I couldn't find textually right from the textbook, I found through reading the textbook matrix-wise. And I could see various things that must be in the text and naturally were in the text. But the initial idea came from the matrix itself. The matrix is creative. Everybody wants to be creative, and they try to be creative out of their own human loins, out of their own human thinking. Whereas true creativity should always be a deductive method in science, because everything comes from one source, namely the divine principle. Therefore, deductive reasoning in Christian Science is very creative. So it is a place within something originates, then takes form. If we have the whole matrix of the prophets, then all the prophets are included in one page. They take form. Every prophet takes its right place within the whole. It finds its right place, it takes form, or develops. It goes further and says, that which gives form, origin, or foundation to something enclosed or embedded in it. So everything what the prophets are saying will find somewhere a right place value, and that right place value then can be defined through the elements of the matrix. So you can see that the matrix is something that can be of a very great, gives us a great insight into a subject. It orders, so to say, our knowledge so that it becomes ordered and structured. And when it becomes ordered and structured, one begins to understand that each prophet, especially in relationship to all the other prophets. We take another definition. The last one was from Webster, that had to be more general. I took another one from a mathematical book, so to give much more the mathematical definition of a matrix, which I like much more. It says, a matrix is a schematic model of order. You already see it has to do with order, and it's a schematic model of order. So that the matrix is, so to say, a model within which there is structural order. It's not just something that includes at random everything, but that it is presenting the whole subject in a structural order. It has, now this is what is interesting for us, it has columns and rows or lines. Now, it has columns. What does it mean? It means that it has vertical columns. One column next to the other. These are columns, the verticals. So we can call them the columns, or we can call them the verticals, just as the thing is presented. So we have columns, verticals, and there are rows or lines. Let's call them lines. They are horizontal. They are like this. Now, from you, they are like this, huh? Rows. So in that class schedule you had in your first class already, you had the verticals or columns were the days of the week, and the horizontals, the lines, were the hours in the day. So you had two categories. You had the category of the days in the week, and you had the category of the hours in the day. There are two very distinct categories. But through the combination of them, through verticals and horizontals, you get a matrix and therefore an overall view of the whole week. So it creates an overall view of the whole week. And every time when you were waking up in the morning, you went perhaps to the class schedule and said, what have I first? And you looked in the column and then in the line, in the horizontal, and said, oh, the first hour is arithmetic, huh? And the second hour is English or so. And you knew at once what the day will be. So it has columns and lines which are constructed according to definite rules. Well, the definite rules are, as we said, to define really the two categories, to define weekdays and to define hours of the day. And when you know that, you have already obeyed the rules. The essential requirement is, and this is important to remember all through the week, the essential requirement is that all the elements in a column or in a row possess a common characteristic. This is important. And there is where one can get right off the track. We must remember that everything that is in one column must have a common denominator. In your class schedule, it was Monday, and everything that was written in that column was Monday, 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 and not Tuesday or Wednesday. Or in the line, it was always in the horizontal line, right through. It was 8 to 9, 8 to 9, 8 to 9, 8 to 9. They have a common denominator. And so when we consider spiritual ideas and spiritual facts in a matrix, we have to remember that as well the verticals as well as the horizontals must always have a common denominator. And because they have a common denominator, it's simple, because it's common. Everything in that column has one thing in common, namely the most important thing of all that is in the column is written right on the top. This is the common denominator. And therefore it makes things so much easier, because it reduces then the whole week, so to say, only to two categories, the days and the hours, and therefore because each vertical and horizontal has a common denominator, the whole idea becomes very simple. Another simple definition is a rectangular array with systematic entries. Well, in order to have a rectangular array, a rectangular is something like this, and this is an array, a chessboard model. Because it has an array, then you can put into these columns and into these horizontals, you can enter definite values, so that each point of intersection, wherever a vertical is intersecting a horizontal, you get the point of intersection here, and that's a point of intersection, and that point of intersection is a new value. Out of a vertical common denominator and a horizontal common denominator, you get a point of intersection which will build a new value. It creates a new value. And so you can see that a matrix is very creative. It creates new values, and if you put into those point of intersection the new values, then you get a systematic tabulation of values. Or another definition, a matrix is an arrangement of values in lines and columns. That's the same thing again. You have values that are arranged properly, ordered according to lines and to columns. Yes. So a matrix is a rectangular array. Now, a rectangular has not always a different length and breadth. It can have the same length and the same breadth, you say, or height, and then it is called a square. So a square is a special form of a rectangular. Therefore, we can have a square matrix or an ordinary rectangular matrix. For instance, if we would take the seven synonymous terms as columns, and as lines, for instance, Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science, which are only four lines, seven columns, four lines, and we would get a rectangular matrix. When do we get a square matrix? When the number of columns and the number of lines are equal. For instance, when we would make a matrix of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, reflecting itself as mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love, you get the 7x7 matrix. When we were doing, say, in the syllabus class, for instance, the blending of ideas, we were doing that. We were taking mind column. What is mind as mind? what is mind as spirit, what is mind as soul. So we went down the column of mind, and we're blending it with the seven synonymous terms, and actually mind as mind is something different, and mind as spirit and something different, and mind as soul. So we would get a rectangular matrix of the synonymous terms. This week, we have a square, we would get naturally a square matrix of 7 by 7. I said rectangular, or a square is always a rectangular, but it's more defined if I say we would get a 7 by 7 is a square matrix. The same is when we consider the four sides of the holy city and have four columns, Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science. Yes? And because these four sides reflect each other, we can see them in the reflection horizontally as the Word, then as the Christ, then Christianity, then as Science, and we get a 4 by 4 square matrix. And this is the matrix which we will discuss in during this week. It's a square matrix. We come on page 96 of our study aid to the matrix elements. What are the matrix elements? A matrix is a rectangular arrangement of elements. Now the values that are at the point of intersection we can call matrix elements. So every time in the matrix where the vertical crosses the horizontal at that point of intersection, we said there is a new value. It creates a new value, and that new value is called a matrix element. Or we could, perhaps in a more cruel sense, say, well, a matrix, a 4 by 4 matrix, consists of 16 boxes. All those boxes, we could call them boxes, in science, one calls them elements. Now, this is another important point that is said here. An element is a primary component. What that means may not be quite clear right now, but on Friday, Saturday, we'll see what it means, perhaps even earlier. It's a primary component. Well, we can see what it is. It's a component. Why is it a component? Because it's composed of the vertical idea, common denominator, with the horizontal common denominator. The point of intersection, as we have said, brings out a new value. That new value or element is composed of two values. It's a new component, and therefore is a primary component, because it has been created primary. It's an effect of something that has not been there before. The creative elements were the vertical and the horizontal, and what comes out of it is a component, and that's new, that is absolutely new and unique and does not repeat itself anymore, and so it is a primary component. In the sense that it is not possible to divide an element and at the same time retain the properties which are relevant to the associative context. It says, you see, that component we can no more divide up. It's a new value, and you can't divide it up anymore. Though it has been brought into being through a creative act of intersection of two categories, it becomes a primary component, and that should no more be analyzed into parts, or as it says here, should no more be divided anymore. It's a new primary value. So that's why it is that each of the prophets is a primary component and is a value that has nothing to do with all the other prophets. It has its specific message. It has a completely different message than all the other prophets. But each prophet, as we'll see, is nothing else but to bring out a point of intersection of those fundamental categories of being, namely where does world, or where does Christ, or where does Christianity. Therefore, we can see that each prophet is actually only a symbol for a very scientific fact, namely a common denominator of one of these fundamental categories of being. We go further and say elements form the constituent parts of magnitudes. Each prophet is a constituent part of the 16th prophet, of the whole prophetic age. So the prophetic age is the whole, and each prophet, therefore, is an element or a constituent part of the prophetic age. It's not something outside the prophetic age, and nor is a prophet something by itself. He's always a part of the whole. And that's important to see. Their interrelation constitutes the structure of a magnitude. The interrelation, that's interesting, constitutes the structure of a magnitude. The interrelation of one prophet to the next prophet, to the next prophet, to another prophet, either vertically or horizontally, constitutes the structure of a magnitude of the prophetic age. So it is the relationship then of the matrix element to each other, the relationship of the 16 boxes, the 16 point of intersection to each other, that really is interesting, that really gives understanding. We said relationship brings understanding.